website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day as we face the issues. And as we face the issues, we're talking about today something that I believe is timely. It's seasonal. We're in the Christmas season. And as such, I'm asking the question, why not Santa Claus? Now, some of you are going to get upset with me, and I understand that. Just don't call and tell me. I don't need to know. But we have today and several other times as we talk about the Christmas season that we're in, we need to recognize that Christ is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. The reason we're celebrating Christmas even now is simply because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Christ is God in the flesh. May I say to you, as we face the issues today, we're going to be talking about the celebration of this wonderful season called Christmas, and we should rejoice. Why should we rejoice? The Bible says, as the angel spoke to the shepherds in the field watching their flocks by night, back at the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, his first coming, the angel said, there's good news. What is the good news, ladies and gentlemen? The good news is a Savior is born. And as the angel Gabriel announced to the shepherds watching their flocks in the fields by night, as I said a moment ago, the great announcement, ladies and gentlemen, should bring hope, expectancy, joy, and comfort to the hearts and the lives of each and every one under the sound of my voice and beyond. As we celebrate Christmas, I pray that you're having a joyful celebration this season and the realization and the recognition of who Jesus Christ is and why we celebrate this wonderful season that we call Christmas. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is called the Truth Book, and my book, that's what I've called it for many, many years, the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty lengthy period of time. I like that. It is forever. That's eternal. Without ending. And I'm thankful that God says that in his word. But ladies and gentlemen, there's so many times there are those that reject the truth, refuse to believe the truth, and stand on the truth. It's the mantra and the mindset that was advocated back in the dystopian novel written by George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And may I say to you, we need to understand truth and what is truth. And the Bible is the truth. It is the truth, the Word of God, and it sustains forever. Yet we find so often in our churches today and in society today in general, there's a mindset that we can bifurcate truth, that somehow, some way, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, is not the fundamental foundational values of our society today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns that the decline of truth is one of the problems that we're finding in America. We're finding the decline of truth. This, in part, is what Dement said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today in our churches. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question about how that's played out, just listen to Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, and others, and what they're saying in relationship to what they call truth when it comes to some of the events taking place in the Trump administration. That is a good example of a lack of understanding the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I'm looking at a headline that's a little fearful. It says Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. That commitment to truth is needful today, perhaps more than ever in the history of our great nation. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day right here on this broadcast, is that we seek the truth. By the way, you won't find that on the Communist Network News. Won't find that on CBS, NBC, ABC, or the other networks. In fact, you won't even find full truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth on Fox News. They deviate from that quite often, as I find. Truth book is found in the Word of God. It's found in the Scripture. And Jan Hus was advocating in that era, and even today, it's applicable that we need to seek the truth. Listen to it, learn it, love it, live it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend it, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, this sounds negative, but let me say this. I believe the longer we go, the closer we get to the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we're going to find a greater and greater and greater need for Christians, conservatives, patriots, for us to stand up, speak the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and be willing to defend the truth. That's my call each day on the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, some might say, how do I find that? 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is located right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. And I'm delighted to have around our round table today here in our studio two men that we've had several times before, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis. Dr. Davis, speak to our listeners a moment, and then Dr. Phelps do the same, and we'll start our round of thoughts in relationship to this special season called Christmas.
Amen. First, I want to say amen. Thank God for being here. Amen on today. Amen with you, and amen, Dr. Phelps. Amen. And I want to say Merry Christmas, amen, to everyone, amen, that's listening to the program on today. Certainly hope, amen, that you will celebrate Christ, amen. This is what it's all about, amen, for Christians on today. Good morning to my bride, family, and friends, amen, back in Folkestone, and everyone I've invited to listen by way of ilovethetruth.com. Amen. I do, amen, invite a lot of people, amen, to tune in, Dr. Youngblood, because there are many, amen, that still are lacking in the knowledge of the Word of God.
Yes.
So we're trying to provide you with something here that will help you, that be beneficial in your Christian walk with God. Amen. So let's make sure we understand what the true reason is for celebrating Christmas. We're going to talk about that today.
Amen. Thank you for that. Dr. Phelps, say a few words.
Good morning. We hope everyone is doing well today and enjoying the wonderful weather that we're having. And we're looking forward to Christmas because Christmas is the time that we celebrate the coming of our Savior. That's what it's all about. I'm so thankful for the measure of health and strength the Lord has given us, and God is so good. We give testimony today of God's great salvation and the gift of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think about it, let me, by the way, that telephone is 904-831-0917, and the invitation today is for you to pick up the telephone, dial in, let us know your thoughts in relationship to the subject or the issue that we're talking about today. How do you celebrate this season? What are you doing for this Christmas season? How do you as a family celebrate it? I want to ask you a question. This is kind of a, loaded question. Do you happen to have Santa Claus mounted on top of your roof? Do you have a gigantic Santa Claus on your lawn? Do you have Christmas shopping bags or wrapping paper that's all filled with nothing but the jolly good fella named Santa Claus? How does Santa Claus play into your Christmas celebration? What do you tell your kids? Do you tell them to leave a glass of milk out on the table for Santa Claus? He'll be there, ho, 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 at midnight sometimes. And you ask the kids to cook some cookies, bake some cookies, put them on the table there for Santa Claus to eat when he comes scrambling down the chimney. Most homes don't even have a chimney today. Don't know how that's possible. But nevertheless, those are some questions that I want you to ponder, because that's part and parcel of what we'll be talking about today on this broadcast as we celebrate Christmas. Are we celebrating Christ's birthday? Are we celebrating a secularized mythological creature called Santa Claus? And I am concerned about the secularization of Christmas. I'm concerned about the focus that so many families take, even Christians, with the focus that is taken for Christmas, this Christmas season. I want us to get our focus refocused and focus on the Christ of Christmas. And as the angel told the shepherds when they announced Jesus' birth about the Savior, I want to read a couple of verses of that announcement that is found in Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 10 and 11 in particular. And the angel said unto them, speaking to the shepherds, fear not, for, so the Greek word gar, because, behold, look intently and see is what that word means. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, as the announcement was made then, may I say to you, let's refresh that announcement today and announce it on the basis that it's good news and it should bring joy to the world. That Jesus Christ is born. A Savior has come into the world. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we had the privilege, the freedom, the opportunity in America to celebrate Christ's birth and to celebrate the that Jesus is the reason for the season. So I want to, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, before I get into a deeper thought, or we start waiting around with some of the questions, comments by our listeners, I want to just look at an article in part. It says, the role of Santa Claus in Christmas. This article reads, it's, if it were not so sad, it'd be laughable. Santa Claus, also known as St. Nicholas, Kris Kringle, or the father of Christmas, is a legendary, may I add, in the figmentation of the mind, figure associated with Christmas. His origins trace back to the 4th century Bishop St. Nicholas, known for his generosity for giving. The modern image of Santa Claus developed in the 19th century, particularly in the United States, influenced by Dutch traditions and the poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas. Then it goes on to give some characteristics of St. Nicholas. Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, is typically depicted as a jolly, portly man with a white beard, dressed in a red suit with white fur trim. He is said to live at the North Pole, with his wife, Miss Santa Claus, and a team of elves who help him make toys. On Christmas Eve, he travels around the world just in one night with a sleigh pulled by the reindeers, delivering gifts to all the children. Article further says, families often incorporate Santa Claus in their tradition by having children write letters to Santa Claus, leaving out cookies and milk for Santa Claus, and visiting Santa at the shopping malls, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm laying down the gauntlet, if you will, asking you to respond. You don't have to admit it, but what are your thoughts? Should Santa Claus be part and parcel of the Christmas celebration? What is Christmas about? Dr. Phelps, when we think about this Christmas season in particular, our world is in chaos. Our nation is in a state of calamity and confusion. We have battles on every hand, not just battles with other nations, but battles within our own nation, where we are divided as a nation. And the focus often is on that divisiveness and that separation and that calamity and that chaos. But in the midst of all of that, we can still rejoice and celebrate in knowing that Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, was born. And we have that celebration today as we celebrate the Christmas season. Dr. Phelps, the question is this. What is it about Christmas? Why should we celebrate Christmas? Why is it not just pushed aside as old and stodgy and not relevant today, as some may count it, and as some in the secular world even conclude? What are your thoughts on that?
We should celebrate Christmas because a Savior was born.
Amen.
And that is the great statement I would like to make today. The Bible teaches us that this is a time when we, as Christians, I mean believing Christians, celebrate the coming of our Savior.
Amen.
Jesus came to fulfill what we call the Emmanuel promise of Isaiah 7:14. That's also mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. When Jesus came, he came in fulfillment of all of the promises that God made concerning a Savior and our Lord, who would come to fulfill that promise made by Isaiah back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The angelic messengers said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And we're to rejoice. We can rejoice. We find that those who are involved rejoiced. The Bible tells us that Mary rejoiced. Mm-hmm. And Anna, another saint of God, mentioned in the Luke chapter 2, she rejoiced. And those who were there at the time that Jesus was dedicated to the Lord, according to the law of Moses, those people rejoiced in that we have the birth of Christ. The wise men who came were so glad, and they rejoiced, and they presented to him gifts and were glad. We should be glad that God has kept his promise to send us a Savior, because we need a Savior.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, in the Old Testament, Jesus was prophesied by the prophets, his coming. In the New Testament, prior to his coming, he was preached to the congregations of that era of his coming. And then on that special, wonderful occasion of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, I believe it's about verse 7, 8, and 9, 6 and 7 in particular, there was found no room for Jesus in the inn. And I use that, just pluck it right out of its right out of the page, not out of the context. But why is it today that we find so many that make no room for Jesus as we celebrate Christmas?
Well, I would say, Dr. Youngblood, it's due to a lack of understanding him for who he is.
Yes.
If we consider, I mean, everything that Dr. Phelps said was very great, amen, and we could go back even further than that. Because if we go back before his birth, he is the promised seed that God promised Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, that through your seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed.
That's right.
So that was Christ. It was, we know that he came through the 12 tribes, et cetera, et cetera. Picked out, amen, from the tribe of Judah, amen. But still yet, God worked the plan. And he sent Christ Jesus, let me say, just in the nick of time. Because we were going down for our last breath. Now, when we consider, like Dr. Phelps said, the Savior, he came to do exactly what God assigned him to do. We needed salvation, so God sent us a Savior.
Yes, and may I interrupt and say this. In Galatians 4, I believe it's 4:4, 4:5, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, Jesus.
Amen.
That's the fullness. And the perfection of timing, God sent Jesus. Go ahead.
Amen. So when he was born, let me put it to you like this. The plan of salvation was made manifest to the world through his birth.
That's right.
Because he came to save his people from their sins. Mm-hmm. Now, why do we celebrate Christmas? We have to understand, God's people are supposed to be celebrating people. He commanded his people, if we want to go all the way back to the book of Exodus, come down through the second giving of the law in Deuteronomy, about the seven feasts and festivals of the Lord, he always commanded his people to celebrate him and remember him for the great thing that he has always done for them in spite of who they were.
And so as we celebrate Christmas then, and let me just do a little rambling for a minute and tie it up with a question. As we celebrate Christmas, I think it should be done joyfully, expectantly, and in a recognition of what we're doing in this season called Christmas. Some get upset and say that we ought not to have a Christmas tree in a house or a place for a Christian. Some get upset and say we ought not to have decorations, that's secularizing Christmas. Some are concerned about the way and the manner. And yet we have those on the other hand that will say perhaps no Christmas tree, no lighting, etc., but we'll have a giant Santa Claus on the lawn or on the roof of the house. What is it about that? Does it bother you? Do you find that antithetical to Christianity and biblical truth and how we should celebrate Christmas? What about Christmas and our celebration in this season? What should we do? How should it be done? Should it be done joyfully? Should it be done mournfully? Should it be done expectantly? Give some thoughts on that.
Well, first, it should be done in the truth. Because Santa Claus is the figment of your imagination. And anything that's a figment is a lie. So we don't need to confuse our kids. They're confused enough right now. So as Christians, we're supposed to teach them the word of God.
Amen.
What does the word say? All right. Now, what you said about the lights and the tree and et cetera, et cetera, I've had some to make an argument about what they found in the book of Ezekiel about the green fir tree, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to argue about that. You know what I mean? If that's your take on that, I'm not going to worry about that. But here's what we truly read, we really need to know and understand. God decorated the field himself that night when he announced the birth of Christ. Let's go over there to the book of Luke, chapter 2, and I'll show you what I mean, and we're going to move on. But when we go to St. Luke, chapter 2, and I'll pick up at verse number 8, and it said, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. So with the Shekinah glory of God that came and shone around the shepherds that night, the trees of the field lit up.
That's right. Lighting the world.
Everything that was out there lit up.
That's right.
So why would anyone have a problem with lights? And even going back to the seven feasts and festivals of the Lord, when we look at the Feast of Dedication or the Festival of Lights, Israel still celebrates those festivals right now today. And if Christians can get a full knowledge and understanding of why they celebrate, getting back to revealing the truth about why we celebrate.
Right.
If we just abide in the truth and do it like we have been taught to do it by the Word of God, then we won't have to worry about Santa Claus, flying reindeer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've never seen it in the Bible where Jesus needed reindeer to fly.
That's right.
In the book of Acts, it said when he ascended back up into heaven, the clouds took him up.
That's right.
So I didn't see anything about reindeer.
That's right. And one of the things, when you touched on that about the Shekinah glory, my wife has said so often, light up everything that you can light up. Jesus is the light of the world.
My God.
And it's Christmas. Let's celebrate Christmas season. Let the light shine and others know that we are willing to say Jesus Christ is the reason for the season.
That's it. That's it.
And I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Go ahead, Kenneth, with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I tell you, Dr. Youngblood, I'm less than 100. Back in the 60s, I think I was like 8 years old, getting a picture with Santa Claus and all that. And then he's asking about the gifts, and I didn't give. And back then, I was like, ain't no Santa Claus. It ain't no God. Right? I thought, so we didn't have a chimney. But fast forwarding, my first wife and I, my son, and she was talking about Santa Claus. I said, don't tell that boy that lie because it made me fall away from God. I said, don't tell that boy that lie. It ain't no Santa Claus. Your mama and your daddy, we're Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kenneth, one of the things, if I can pick up on what you're saying, that's what I find to be so antithetical to authentic Christian living in authentic Christian families as to what we ought to do. I'm looking at an article. The headline says, is it wrong to teach children about Santa Claus for Christmas?
Yes.
And the article says this. It goes to ask the question again, is it wrong to tell children stories about fairy tales such as Santa Claus? Santa Claus is a cherished part of the holiday festival for some families. He can become more than a figure in a red suit for children. He represents the holiday season. It's magic, it's wonder, it's joy. Belief in Santa Claus is a holiday tradition, and it can play a meaningful role in a child's development by fostering child's imagination and emotional growth while distinguishing it from fantasy. But Kenneth, one of the problems is, as you just articulated so well, what do you do with a child? A Christian parent tells the child Santa Claus is coming. That's what Christmas is about. And the child gets all excited about that jolly little man and the white with the white beard and the red suit and puts out cookies and milk for Santa Claus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he gives Santa Claus the list of what he wants. He doesn't get what he tells Santa Claus he wants. Therefore, he decides, well, Santa Claus is not real. So therefore, Mom and Dad, if you tell me anything about church, anything about the Bible, anything about the future of spiritual things, then I'm not going to believe it because you told me about Santa Claus. I discovered he wasn't real. Therefore, I'm just going to put out of hand anything that you tell me about spiritual things. That's the fear that I have. That's the sense of it. And I believe if the truth were known, that would be a major fundamental problem in the hearts and the lives of multitudes of kids today growing up because they think Christmas is just a fantasy because they have been told a lie in relationship to Santa Claus. Now, I know there's some moms and dads out there that are going to get pretty uptight because that's your focus.
Yes.
If you've got Santa Claus out, if you've got everything in this Christmas season wrapped with Santa Claus, change it before it's too late. That's all I have to say about it. But, Dr. Phelps, we've got about 30 seconds before the top of the hour. And Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. We've got about 30 seconds before the top of the hour news break. It's about 10 seconds. Our time is flying, but speak for a moment, then we'll come back to you. Is Santa Claus okay or not?
No, sir. As a young boy, about 8 or 9 years old, my brother told me there wasn't a Santa Claus. And I was near a fence, a wire fence, and I had to go over and hold to that fence because I thought, well, what has Mommy and Daddy been telling me?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
More, visit conservative.edu.